Accession number 19864, Reel 4.
Georges Le Poitevin, Reel 4. So when you got back to your hometown in Normandy, what were the relationships like between those who had supported the Free French and those who had supported the Vichy?
Well, the first contact were a bit frustrating as far as I was concerned, because most of the people were reckoning that the German hadn't been too bad with them. The German had treated them quite well, you see. So, of course, I still had a certain a hate at the time toward the German, and I didn't take that very, you know, very kindly, you see. So, and it was the general feeling. I felt that most of them said they had more to suffer from the debarquement from the Americans, and because it was mostly the American who went that way of that part of Normandy, Cherbourg. And then, of course, I was a bit disappointed. But when I reached my family, I don't think my family took any sides at all. Really, they were not for or against anybody, you know. They were completely apolitical, and they never bothered about any side at all. So when I reached a house where they lived, they had visitors there. My sister and all was there, and her husband. And when I knocked at the door, and they shouted, "Entrez," I can still see them. They all started crying. They saw a ghost. They didn't know I was still alive, and they couldn't believe their eyes. You see, that I had returned. So it took a long, long time for things to quieten down. And then that's how I met my family again, you see, after over 5 years. I didn't know they were alive, and they didn't know if I'd survived. The last time I'd written to them was from Port-Louis, near Lorient, beginning of June 1940. And now was September 1945. So anyway, they looked after me for quite a long time, I was trying to regain my health. I kept writing to my fiancée in Wales, and eventually, many years after, we got married in 1948, went back there and got married, and we've been together ever since.
But how did you decide whether or not to live in Normandy or in England?
Well, it was what I said just now, the general atmosphere, you know. Maybe in the back of my mind, you know, I had some resentment about the treatment I received from my own people. That they should have punished me, well, I would have accepted, but in a reasonable way. But their way wasn't reasonable at all. And I had some resentment, and I got married and came back and lived here, you see. I lived in this country. Then, some years later, in 1962, I returned to France, hoping that I would settle down again.
With your wife?
My wife, yes. I stayed there from 1962 to 1966, but I missed this country. I missed England. So I came back here. And in the meantime, I had learned to play bowls. And that was my passion now, playing bowls. While I lived in Pembrokeshire, I played bowls from Pembrokeshire. And when I lived in here, in Middlesex, I played bowls for the county, for Middlesex. So I had many, many friends, and I've been very happy ever since, you see. I played bowls ever since.
So when you got married in 1948, did you then live in Pembroke Dock?
I lived in Pamukdos for a little while, but went back to France and lived in Rouen. In Rouen for about 3-4 years, and the hardest part of all is looking after me. My wife had fallen ill as well, and had tuberculosis as well, and she was even worse than I was at the time. But thankfully, there was antibiotics, Rimifon and so on, and she, you know, she, the French wanted to operate on her, but I wrote to her father. And her father talked to a British specialist, and she said, I can't pronounce myself until I see her. They wanted to cut half of her lung and all. So her father came and picked her up, and she went back to Wales, and the specialist saw her and said, we are going to cure you without any operation. And they did. She's still alive today. You've seen her this morning. So she was cured.
So what kind of employment did you take up after the war?
Oh, for many years I couldn't work. You see, I had a pension which allowed me to stay and look after myself and repair the damage. But when I was allowed to work again, I worked in car hire business. Car hire. I created, it was just at the beginning of car hire business in France, and it's where I worked for almost 5 years in Cherbourg while we lived in Cherbourg in car hire business. And it was a good job, but I was working long hours, you know. I had a daughter, and I never saw her. In the morning she was asleep, at night she was asleep. I used to work weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and I decided to come back into this country after a time. And then in this country I found a job with a French firm, where I worked till I retired. When I was 60, I retired at 60. I've been retired now.
How did your wife get on in France?
Very well. My wife wasn't the one who wanted to come back here. I was the one who wanted to come back here. She was quite happy. She made a lot of friends in Cherbourg, where we lived eventually. And she was quite happy there, very happy. But I had a very good job, very happy with my job. I met lots of very interesting people. Lots of Americans used to come back and forth on the Queens to visit the D-Day beaches, you know. I met quite a few interesting people during that period.
And how did you get on in this country? Were you accepted in this country?
Well, in England?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. It was fantastic. Fantastic. Oh, yes. I had, I've always been happy and always be well treated by everybody, whether it's sports or clubs I belong to. Yes. When I was living in Wales, I was an adopted Welshman. When I left Wales, I received lots of telegrams and letters saying, you always be welcome in the valleys. So it's good.
So how do you feel now about having served in the French Navy in the Second World War?
Well, it has been an honor for me to serve in the French Navy. And if it was recommence again, I would do the same again, you know, but I hope under different circumstances, you see. To me, I wanted to make the Navy my career, but of course, I couldn't carry on. I was discharged. The British discharged me. I went in front of a British commission who discharged me 100% with 100% pension, you see, which was very little in those days, but I was discharged. Still got the papers from the British commission who discharged me, and to me that was goodbye the Navy, you see, unfortunately.
But did you get a good disability pension from the French government?
Oh, yes, from the French, yes. After the war, you see, all the pension that were granted by the British were reverted to French pension, you see, after the war, yes. But another anecdote is that after D-Day, when my ship had been blown up on a mine that we went to Pembroke Dock for repairs, one day my captain asked me in his office, and he said, George, because we'd got very friendly, you know, he did appreciate what I'd done, and he said, George, this is a telegram I just received from the Admiralty. And it was in after D-Day. D-Day was in 6th of June 1944, and it must have been in sometime in July. He said, "This is you've been sentenced to 10 years imprisonment for having left Morocco in February 1943." So the Vichy is still there in place, had court-martialed me and sentenced me to 10 years imprisonment for having left Morocco. So in London, I met somebody who I knew was in that camp where I'd been incorporated in the army. And so the friend who had given me shelter when I came out of the prison centrale de Kenitra, I told the inquiring officer that I was in the Free French Navy in London. They didn't want to hear about that. They still sentenced me to 10 years imprisonment. Of course, that was cancelled later on, you see. So the Navy, you know, they were, in those days, well, the Navy were pro-Vichy, and you couldn't do anything about it, you see. So